Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought two too many.
Thank you.
evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to another edition of Soul Tree Radio on the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram, and as always, it is good to be with you. Soul Tree Radio on the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good stuff. The who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now at www.BASNNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Band Network, as always, doing our thing. And we'll be coming in from hither and yon as the discourse flows. And we'll have a special interview, I hope, this evening with my younger brother, Tony McLean, who has finally presented his first book. Long overdue for a very intelligent brother. But I'll speak to another intelligent brother for now, in Gary Norris Gray. What's up, G?
Oh, how you doing, man? Why is it going to lose all its protein, man?
Washington's going to lose what?
All of the professional teams. Because the Washington Wizards and the Washington Capitals are moving to Virginia.
So that's what's up.
Explain what's going on with the Washington Cubs.
Well,
the Washington
football
club going back to Washington, D.C.
I'm wondering how much it's going to cost.
Because all these people are all over the place.
Yeah, always look at cost. Yes. There's so much money being flung around nowadays. The actual whim of moving, it means a lot, especially in an area like that where you've got all the Baltimore teams to consider in addition to the Washington teams.
It's like what happened in Oakland. Because of minorities,
yep.
They want to move to Virginia.
Well, you know, there might be some truth behind what you're saying, but I mean, that would be almost tragic. Camden Yards, that is not just a couple of years old. It's been around a long time. And they've gotten at least a good 20 years out of it. It's still considered new in comparison to most ballparks. So why do you think they want to change up like that and rebuild a new hockey stadium or basketball court?
Well, I'm wondering what's wrong with the Washington Wizards because the Capitol was there to get rid of it, so I don't know what's going on over there.
Well, it definitely means to speculate on how much. And nowadays, it is about how much. On top of everything else, we have corporate entities betting and bargaining for the right to get their stadium named.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, we could be looking at games for the Gary Gray Memorial Center if Gary Gray wants to spend the money on it.
Yeah, do that. Because every year, the Giants change their name in a ballpark.
They do that make you feel like it. That's right. Well, Dave Jennings played for the Giants. He explained it once. When the Giants did charities, he would say that you would hire the Giants. He said Giants, J-I-N-T-S, like pink.
They would
never say the word Giants, because then you'd be walking into a legal minefield. I still don't understand why. But I do remember Jennings saying that. So if the Cap Center and where the Wizards and the Capitals play is up for relocation, how much do you think it's going to cost the league? I mean, it's not like we're going to turn up there.
About $5 million each.
That's pennies compared to what they always ask for. That's nothing. You know, I think as we look at this, we need to inspect some real crime. And I think it's time to go courtside. And I don't mean the high rent seats. We're not functioning. One moment, please. If you please the motherfucking court, I resent the court. The details of what transpired Sunday evening in Kansas City. To the council, Councilor Gray and Councilor McLean, this is what transpired. Patrick Mahomes, quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs, was coming back against the Buffalo Bills. If the Bills had lost, they were effectively knocked out of the playoffs because it would bring them to 6-7, and they would be looking up at about 9 or 10 teams before they got considered even in the hunt. Anyway, as the game transpired, Mahomes was driving Kansas City towards a touchdown. He threw a post corner pass to Travis Kelce, his tight end. Kelce ran 5 yards and threw a perfect backward pass to Kadarius Toney, who ran the last 20 yards or so into the end zone for what would have been a show-stopping touchdown. But hold on, Babalooey.
Oh, there's that button.
You find that. You find out offside was called, but not against the defense. Now we got our brother Tony McClain in, and I ask you both, when is the last time you ever seen offside called against the offense?
You probably have to go back to the Mesopotamian era of football. Basically never. But and it's weird because, again, I guess you look at all these different angles and everything like that. It's funny, I actually didn't even watch that game that night, but I caught the replay. But now, pardon me if I'm wrong. Now, the defense can somewhat, I want to make sure I'm clear here. Isn't the defense a lot, like, there is that neutral zone. We all know that there's that invisible neutral zone between offensive line or whatever. Now, the defense, I could be wrong, the defense is allowed to set up there. And I remember in particular, Hall of Famer Joe Klecko would basically be sort of leaning on the line a la Ben Grimm of the Fantastic Four, who also had no neck. And
no shit.
He would literally, he wasn't out of, again, wasn't offside. He was considered on that quote-unquote neutral zone. It was literally one of those, like, it's borderline. And
that's true.
With the and now with the thing with Mr. Tony, he literally has his foot on that imaginary line. What's funny to me is that you got people say, "Oh, he was clearly over the line." Like, wait a minute. It looked like he was, like, in a sense, right on the line to me. It doesn't look like he was blatantly over the line. But,
yep.
Again, because we're living in NFL shenanigans, we see stuff like this. And what's funny to me is that now, I guess all of a sudden now, they're trying to say that the Kansas City Chiefs are like the Patriots, where they get all these calls and...
Hey, look.
Don't kill the messenger. Just, you know, but see,
exactly.
Again, it's funny to me how all of a sudden now that, you know, you see a couple of black quarterbacks doing well, all of a sudden now they're hated. And I guess the scuttle, you know, not to go too far along into this, but just to sort of preface the point, there's this scuttlebutt going around that Goodell wants to get rid of the tush push as well. But see, it's like, and you know what? The sad thing is, it literally plays into all that we've been talking about over the years in regards to the NFL. They have to have their white heroes because, see, they didn't want to get him eliminated because Justin Herbert, he's now out for the year for the Chargers, which for him is probably the best thing that can happen with that friggin' train wreck of a franchise. But that's another story in and of itself. But between Tony Soprano starting for the Giants, and now they've literally and figuratively dug up Joe Flacco to make a look at
see. Isn't it that?
You know, isn't it interesting that, you know, you see Russell has made his comeback this year. You see Stroud doing what he's doing in Houston. Of course, Lamar, they have the top record in the AFC. And, of course, you know, the standardized guys, Hurts, Mahomes, Geno Smith, unfortunately, went down as well. But it's almost like it's, you know, and again, you know, call it paranoia or what have you. It's almost like the league is like, nah, we can't have this. We got to keep some of these guys around so we can have this sustained whiteness in the playoffs because
Michael, what disturbs me about this is that Mr. Tony has been doing it all night long. He has been doing it all night long.
Sing it, Lionel.
Now, why would you go like that? Go less? That's what I have a problem with. Because if you do all that long, why you call it out?
Yeah.
Gary,
you call
it because you can. And to Tony's speculation, I will see what you said and raise you the following. When Mahomes was in the press conference afterwards, talking about his frustration, he stood there and he answered every question. He didn't flinch. He said straight up, it was a shitty call. And it reminded me of way back in the day when the Carolina Panthers won a game 27-22 and Cam Newton was beaten beyond the white meat. I mean, they really hammered his ass. Somehow, Carolina won, and at the press conference, he revealed that he asked the ref, like, what was up? And the ref said, you've not been here long enough to get that call. Well, Patrick Mahomes has been, what, here, 7-8 years? And he ended up getting a call. But I think they did not expect Patrick's response to be as measured as it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you gotta remember.
You know what also spoke volumes, Mike? You know what also spoke volumes as well in regard to that, Mike?
What?
He didn't get fined.
No,
he didn't.
I agree.
There was no penalty as well, though, right?
The penalty was
when you argue with the ref, right? They can throw a 15-yard, you know.
But also, they can hit you up for, you know how the NBA will hit up the coaches.
It's like personal conduct, you know, or aggression towards a referee, however they term it, right?
But I find it interesting. You know, to me, it speaks volumes that he didn't get, unless they just kept it on the down low. But
no, there's no fine. They have to publicly disclose that fine. Yeah.
Mhm. Mhm. But it was interesting that
what
fine. No, you know, well, you suppose, wait, well, there were more people, there were more media people bitching about his bitching than the league, to be quite honest.
To your point, and it's very very valid, you know when you've been schnookered.
Oh, yeah.
You know when you've been BS.
I like that.
You know when you've been schnookered. You know, side hustle, three-cart money and shit. You just know that.
Mm-hmm,
you know, I mean, they hit him with the three-card money. And one thing I like to bring up because, you know, these cell phones today, right, AI, artificial intelligence, so whatever it may be, you can take a photo and erase somebody out the photo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So are we really, I mean, to me, I always say, is that the right graphic? All they're showing is the graphic of this person's foot across this, you know, imaginary line that they created for the 10-yard marker.
Exactly.
I mean, I can't trust that shit.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And see, that's what they keep showing as the evidence.
Exactly. Well, it's because, see, the thing I always like to tell folks is the classic baseball shot that we see, home plate, to the back of the pitcher, home plate and everything like that, and you know they use that for the quote unquote K zone. That camera is not in dead center field. That camera is
not in the center of the catcher's helmet. Right, you're not getting the right angle ever. If that camera is not where the catcher is visually sitting, either chest high or above his mid-brow, you're never getting the right image. So you can put anything on imagery right now. So the photo allegedly keeps showing. Now, the Eagles got screwed, too, when they held the Niners on a third down position and that one defensive line got caught twice in the neutral zone, which led
to
score.
That's right.
That was a
now,
great job.
We're forgetting about what the referee said or didn't say. In the neutral zone, the referee makes a call for the offense and a call for the defense, as my brothers Eric Satterway and Professor Fred are in the mix. Now,
I mean, that game was 13-0, right? I think it was the Eagles was up 2 scores. They held. The Niners were coming on with their field goal unit. Sweet got caught twice for being in the neutral zone, right, akin to this foot on the line. And see, to me, in the audiovisual world, when putting things on television with the pixels and the replays, you can etch and sketch anything into that. So we have to trust 100% fully that artificial line, they say never to trust, right, when they do the marker, and we can see that 10-yard marker line, right? No one can see that at the live game, right? But the visuals on the TV, we can. They always say, don't trust that. That's an approximation. Yet, this receiver is allegedly on that white line that they keep showing, and they highlighted his foot under blue that he's crossed the line. So if you look at that and have 100% trust on the camera angle, that's 100% legitimate. That's it. If there's this thing out there called the Zapruder film of the Kennedy assassination.
Thank you.
Skin has been sliced so many damn times. We don't really see the real hit ever. No one has ever seen the real hit. That thing has been just sliced, diced, and sliced so many times. So in a football game with today's graphics, today's audiovisual capabilities, that they're saying, okay, yeah, he's offside. Trust what we're showing you. It's a Pruder film style, and that's what took place. Mahomes is on the field, sharp dude, sharp quarterback, got the whole bells and whistles. He says, well, can you give us a warning? That was kind of interesting language when he used that, but that's another story because maybe he's got warnings in the past, right?
Maybe he's got warnings in the past.
We're asking
the question, you know, am I good? Because as a wide receiver, you're lining up out of the huddle, and the side judge will take a look at you and see, are you along the line, or is this too far, or are you in the neutral zone? And the line judge most times will say,
swallow this whistle, right?
tuck in or step in 2 feet or whatever the deal is, take 2 steps back, and you can walk up and say, am I good, ref? And he'll nod, and that's enough. None of this is done. You got to understand Mahomes is incredulous at this because he's like, I'm the voice of you guys. You know, you should take some consideration into what I'm saying. Hell, I'm almost white. You know, you got to pay attention to me more than that.
Whatever it is that all game long.
Sing it, Lionel.
He was doing this consistently. You can see it in replays. He was on his line. Every quarter he did that. So I agree,
Gary. I'll expand this conversation to my brothers here, to Gary and the professor, as well as Eric. When is the last time you had a ref call offside against the offense?
Never.
A receiver. I mean, down the line from the center, usually, wasn't a few games back that the right tackle for the Chiefs, I think they were playing, the Pittsburgh? I don't know, whoever was a really strong pass rusher.
Was it the Steelers?
And so T.J. Watt, right, he gets off really fast. And that offensive tackle was out of alignment, like practically 80% of the game. And they never threw a whistle. You know what I'm saying? And a receiver that far down on the line of scrimmage has no extra advantage. Okay, let's say he had a 2-inch advantage. Well, how did he when the pass went backwards? Not forward to give him an advantage. It went backwards.
Exactly. But, I had brought up earlier, if you guys remember Joe Klecko when he was with the Jets. He would always literally line up right on that. You know, he literally, for lack of a better word, the cheeks of his butt were basically on the neutral zone.
Yeah, he took an angle. He didn't play straight
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. He literally was in the fetus position at the snap, and you know, you look at all NFL. You know, you do any sort of a Google search, YouTube wise, or whatever, and do Joe Klecko.
Right.
To the best of my knowledge, he's the only good person. I don't take anything away from him. You know, but the thing is, it's like, it goes back to, like, you know, what we've all been saying collectively, and of course with the whole gambling aspect and whatever. It's like, why are you calling this now? Because, you know, and look, in the NBA, what gets most of the players upset is if it's a foul in the first quarter, you know, if it's a foul in the first quarter, it should be a foul in the fourth quarter.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, sometimes you just, sometimes the cameras, you can't trust the cameras for nothing, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, the Ali has still thrown the invisible punch. He landed flush. He landed flush, right? And Dempsey and Marciano going back, oh, he didn't hit him. I mean, if you watch Ali's right check peck, because that's always when he let the jab go. That was Eddie Futch's secret to Frazier, you know, or Ken Norton, rather. Right. That when Ali's going to throw the jab, his peck flexes. Right? And it's visual. I mean, his pec flexes fluently on Liston, and he twisted his jab with the same torque, but he has similar knockdowns like that in other fights. It wasn't just that fight. You know what I mean? It's just that, he knocked the shit out of Liston. Now, of course, Sonny could have got up. He ain't rolled 50 times or shit on the canvas.
Eric, but knocking the shit out of Liston notwithstanding. It's on the sideline as an official.
Correct.
What do you always hear? You hear, if it's the offense, illegal procedure, lined up in the neutral zone,
right?
Five yards against the offense, moving back. If it's on the defense, offside, boom, 5 yards, move it up in favor of the offense.
Right.
I have never, and this has been since I was 9, and I found out my cousin played for the Eagles. Not since I was 9 have I ever heard offside called against the offense.
A whiteout, too. A whiteout, yeah.
It's the timing. It's who it was called on. Call us paranoid or what have you, but because of the, you cannot ignore the six elephants in the room now in regard to the betting aspect.
You have to throw in the betting aspect. KC was a 1.5-point favorite. They're losing. A complimented play concurs. Kelsey gains roughly 20 yards in the pass. Throws at least 25 yards to Tony, who makes the catch and runs in another 20. Well, it would have been a game that he touched out. Kansas City would have won by 4. Everybody goes to the pay window. Everyone's happy. But hold on, Bob Louis. This is a typical bus on this. This is my matter. What do you say to all this?
What do I think of all this? I think y'all should do what I did. Y'all should do what I did last Sunday. When I got home from church, I ate and went to bed. Every time I woke up, the Eagles were further behind. The other team was just as sorry. And see, where I live, we are somewhat forced to watch the team from Charlotte do whatever they're doing. I spent most of Friday and Saturday watching the high school football championship week. That was Saturday. I saw better football from guys playing tackle at 212 pounds. One kid weighed, he was all state. He weighed 188. Playing fullback, And insofar as the little bit that I know about this infamous play, based on the picture that I saw, I'm sorry, guys, the receiver was out of place. He was too far forward. I don't know how he got there, but he was. I mean, you could, as a receiver, there's several things you can do. Check with the lines on to your right, line to your left, and all those kind of things. Now, not linesmen, because they are not required to tell you.
No, they're not.
And see, it's one of those courtesy things. But see, I keep telling you all, the games are rigged. And you carry that out with the referees, because you can't trust. How many? What you got? Seven or eight guys on the field. You got professional referees.
Right.
Okay, they're on your payroll. They're at your bidding and guessing call. Some of them guys. To be nice about it, some of them guys are old as I am, and I'm 70 years old. But they're good at what they do. And they've been doing this a long time. I know a number of them. And, to be honest about it, I wouldn't trust them all. I trust most of them as far as I could spit. And like I said, this kind of stuff has been going on. You all mentioned the former Jet Klecko. Well, you left out the most notorious one for that angel thing, Mr. Joe Green.
Yeah, me too.
He lined up.
I always took an angle.
He there were times his shoulders were touching not only his shoulders be touching the guy next to him in the line. Especially the days when they had Arrowhead. Because you couldn't control this. They basically doubled down on the center, making the guards have to turn in to the left from the left or the right, whichever.
And you know what? And that's what freed up Jack Lambert. And that's what freed up Lambert to make all those tackles.
Mm-hmm. Sure, that's what, Lambert. If he
played
only when he attacked the hole that they created. And then the other, Jert Winston also. Because remember, their outside linebackers didn't play downfield. They played close to the line. But, a lot of this stuff is going to be much to do about nothing, unfortunately. Because if they change the rule again, they're going to have to be 5 yards off the line to prevent being called offside. And Mike, you play receiver. That's part of your fundamentals. How you line up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
unfortunate. That's right.
Okay. Something else to look at with what you're dealing with now. You are dealing with a lot of personal relationships, a lot of personal prejudice, which is so obvious. And just getting in the head of some of these referees that you have now, which is why I never liked. Scoring games for the professional level. I mean, there's too much information required. But then, even at the collegiate level, some of these cats have bets on the games. They know people who got bets on the games.
You can always do a third party.
They need to cover the spread and all that kind of stuff. And
you're right.
It's because think about it. And it's not just football. Remember about 2 weeks ago, CP3 got thrown out of the game for looking at the referee.
Scott Foster is the referee in that game, and CP3 in his entire career has never won a game, playoff or regular season, when Scott Foster has refereed. Never. 0-24 or some shit. And no one finds out. Scott Foster ran shotgun with Tim Donaghy.
Because he got ejected, he gets a fine. Okay, but what about the referee? And it's this same referee.
Never won a game with that guy reffing this game. Never won a game.
In this situation, he's not fined, he's not reprimanded, and he still gets a call. You know, he should never. I mean, they got enough referees. I know that to be a fact. For what they get paid, they have plenty of them.
Tim Donaghy and that referee Scott Foster. There's enough phone tag that was happening with them before games when Donaghy was getting arrested forever. And then Foster beat Donaghy during the investigation, so they covered for him. Right? So, I mean, as well as those, there were Rasheed Wallace and these brothers, they go all in on Scott Foster and the Donaghy connection and the rigness of the NBA.
Well, Mike.
Yes.
Okay. Look here. First of all, good to meet you guys again. Regarding the situation, I'll say this. Michael Irvin put it best in talking about the receiver from Kansas City, and also confirmed by Keyshawn Johnson. He said in games of this nature, that tied the end of the game, that should be your priority, to check the line of scrimmage and point and
Thank
let
you.
The ref know where you're at. Case closed. Michael Irvin said he never got in the game in a critical situation and didn't check look at the ref first, because he knew what could happen happened. And then on top of that, I'll say this, that when the play was – the guy was offsides. When the play started, the guy threw the flag so quickly, your folks missed it. the ball was snapping through the flag up. So who was to know that the guy was going to catch a pass and create a play in NFL history? But the guy was offsides.
Mm-hmm. He was offsides, but what you said earlier was more important. Michael Irvin was a wide receiver. It was his job to check every time he lined up. He's lined up on the same side of the field most of the game. But he knows he has to turn a certain way that he goes into motion when they run a play. It was the referee's job to let him know that, all right, Mike, you're good right here. And Mike's job to know that, all right, this is where I have to line up. I have to be on point in that putt. Otherwise,
Shannon Sharp,
I'm all
set. Shannon Sharp said the same thing.
Okay, Michael. You play for 12 games. For 12 games, 13 games in the season. You've been practicing all year long. You know where the ball is. Why is he?
Looking inside the line in the neutral zone. The head referee, that's his main job.
That's it.
While all this is going on, it's his job to eye everything along that line and see. If the center's calling protections out, where's he lined up?
Yeah, where it comes to that. The coaches can see it too.
The coaches can see it. but there's nothing to say about the ref and the guy in motion. If he moves too soon or if he's already lined up in the neutral zone and he throws a flag, honestly, that could be a home call on a case of the ref. But this wasn't a home game. The ref called this for some bullshit reason. Let's be real. I haven't heard offside against the offense call in 66 years.
Mike, let me say this about the offensive tackles, particularly the pros.
Right.
The pros make offensive tackles, particularly on the right-hand side and the backside of the quarterback. They'll take at least three steps back before the guy comes and the league allows.
That's right. Thank you.
I mean, I have a question. I mean, I have a question maybe you brothers can answer. How come the play wasn't blown dead?
Thank you.
Okay.
That's another good question.
The flag, why wasn't the play blown dead?
It was
offside, right?
Because it was the opposite.
Mm-hmm. That's strange.
They don't blow the play dead even at the collegiate level. They let it go when they flag it.
But when there's motion, illegal motion, they call the play's dead. Real quick, right? So a lineman leans or moves, but if a receiver is a little bit offside and the play continues and it's not blown dead and the whistle's never blown dead in the play to after the score, that's how it goes.
Eric, it's when the defense goes offside, the play continues.
I'm aware. That's my point. But the play continued until the guy crossed, got to the house. Then it was, okay, offside. So I thought if he's offside then, whistle blows flag down, dead play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your point's well made, but the play went up immediately.
That's my point. If you're offside, I mean, back to the Eagles. And the Niners, right? Sweet was in the so-called neutral zone on a third down play on the Niners' first drive inside the red zone. Niners didn't score,
right?
And so the field goal unit came on. Then, no, he was in the neutral zone. The Niners scored. That changed the whole complexion of the game. That one neutral zone call changed the entire complexion, and the Niners got the rolling. That play was blown. Sweet did that twice, and each time he made that play, the Niners capitalized on third down plays.
Swift,
whatever his name is, that defensive end, 91, I believe. Not 91, but outside 93, I believe it's number one.
Sweat,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And that neutral zone, I was like, shit, I mean, it totally changed the scoring parameter. It would have been what? The Eagles were up 13 or 14 enough, or 10 nothing, I can't recall.
Yep.
And that changed at that when that shifted, the Niners went to hyper gear. That play was blown dead. Quality teams like that, you can't give them that kind of level of experience. And it was a hand in the so-called neutral zone that shifted the game.
But this is a litmus test that Patrick Mahomes must take. He got his first taste of being stuck in the nasty part of this. He handled himself, I believe, a decent amount of aplomb. Had he said, this is really fucked up, and I know he did to some extent, but if he had really going on about it, like a bigger Mayfield winner, everybody would have been pissed. He's like, look, I'm trying to be the NFL's marketing chip. I've been a good guy. I'll do the right thing. All I want to do is play. Let the players play. Say, I'm not even right. But I want to be as right as I can for you because I know what you're doing affects me and the other black quarterbacks. And unfortunately, Patrick did not pass the test because they still tried to rake him over the coals when the information came out. It's like, are you out of your mind? They want to make sure there's Tom Brady and there's nobody else. And Patrick Mahomes can win 10 Super Bowls, and we're not going to forget the white guy. I mean, tell me I'm wrong here.
A black quarterback cannot win Super Bowls in a row. And you look at the history, it's been proven over and over again. Russell Wilson came back to back. What did they do? Bad call, last play the game, right? Patrick Mahomes, same thing. Here we go with the Eagles quarterback. They're going to say to him too.
Well, look at what's happening here. They're already talking about outlawing the brotherly show, push, whatever you're going to call it.
Yeah, let's discuss that today.
And other mobile quarterbacks were running amok in the league and getting booty yards on the ground. They were like, we're going to change this. And Jeff Fisher was the designated hitman by the selection committee to poison it. Now they're going to challenge the Tush Bush and say, we can't do this anymore. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
It's a fucking, all intents and purposes, it's a rugby scrum. Where do you think
that's
football
what it
came
is.
From?
Hey, Mike. If that was Jared Lorenzen doing that, he'd have a freaking Subway commercial by now.
Thank you.
Hello. Hello. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah. I think also what's going to be involved in that situation, I think the union might get involved in that one. Big time.
Oh, they better. Wait a minute. Does that mean, you know what that means?
The invisible return of the invisible man.
Yes, Ray Bradbury. I mean, DeMarre Smith.
where the hell is DeMarre?
He's winding down, getting the leading position.
Yeah, really. Although, no truth to the rumor that he and Amelia Earhart are sharing a cheeseburger, but I might be wrong.
With Glenn Miller in the Twilight Zone.
Yeah. He's getting really
I'm
sliding out the door.
Like that old Twilight Zone. Welcome to Liberty. What, the Libertyville?
Is he mimicking the famed union leader Jimmy Hoffa? I mean, shit, we've seen Hoffa more than DeMarre.
How about that? let's not ignore the money. Again, Kansas City was a 1.5 point stake. If this play comes off and it's a touchdown and Kansas City wins 24-20, millions of dollars going to KC fans' coffers, Buffalo is for all intents and purposes out of the playoff picture, and that pisses off a lot of people for the so-called Bills Mafia in New York.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, Mike, no truth to the rumor that Al Pacino was going to play DeMarre Smith in the DeMarre Smith movie.
So nobody know nothing until they break out Wesley Snipes, right?
Apparently I am my brother's keeper, apparently.
Gentlemen, I do sense on both and within both leagues, there is, and I read some earlier this evening, there is there's going to be some trepidation and challenging some of the evaluation of some of these referees because what we're seeing is said by a lot of sports fans across the country, some may write, and it's going to be addressed.
I mean, to your point, man, Patrick, you know, at every level, no matter who is on that field, man, Mahomes got his render unto Caesar moment. You know, you are not bigger than the game.
Mm-hmm.
You're not bigger than the situation. You know, hey, you can have your little blonde, and that's still not popular in the Midwest. Don't get that twisted.
Sure ain't.
Ain't popular at all out there, even on the coaching staff. Oh, I didn't say the coaching staff doesn't like him either. All right, so that being said, you know, you have that. So, in other words, you don't get the free pass. Yeah. You don't get, you know, the scrutiny-free zone. I know sometimes, you know, right? I mean, so he had his, right? I mean, he had his word during the season. Like, hey, chill, Patrick. You got your State Farm commercials, you know. Your wife's hanging out with Taylor. You know, you put Andy on. You're breaking him off a little bit of something on the State Farm. We got to get ours against Buffalo, homeboy, and you're going to be our conduit.
There you go.
So you get pissed off and blow a gasket. He found out you will not have it all. We're bigger than you. The league is bigger than it. All these leagues, right, NBA, NFL, MLB, government agencies, ATF, CIA, DEA, all right, all these government agencies, oh, they're professional sports agencies. Well, why do they visit the president when they get a championship if they're not government agencies? Okay, that's another story. So with that being said, you know, you have this conduit there where when you get out there and they're going to move the money and you're going to be a tool to move the money. You found out you were a tool to move the money.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah. And it was moved.
Exactly. And you got pissed off because, yeah, fundamentally, all your years of football, everything in your instinctive DNA said you got effed over. Right? I mean, that's how you responded. You just realized they pulled the toy from your toy box.
Get effed over.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
With more to come.
More to exactly. How often have we seen this script? Right? I mean, how often have we seen this? You name the jock. You name the hype player. We'll talk about the situation where he had to render unto Caesar.
And that's why Colin Kaepernick had to go, okay? But Colin Kaepernick, basically with the money, you got to get out of here.
The way Harbaugh set up Kaepernick with that read option, and he went for damn near 200 yards on Green Bay, and I believe that was a road game, too. I can't recall. Was it a road game? Yeah.
He got
172, right? I mean, he was like 170, yeah. I mean, they looked at this 6'6 brother with a gun and weapon away. He was running that route. They were like, oh, shit. They bring in more brothers like this who can play that read option. We're done.
I tell you, I'm going to give you a point with what is happening, man. We'll go to the collegiate ranks. If you see the quarterbacks that are entering the transfer portals. Yeah. And the offenses of where the top quarterbacks are going, offenses that create space and who are good
lane,
quarterbacks.
Running lane.
But they're
that field here, that field there.
That playmakers. I mean, like the kid from my Ohio State, I said to people what was going to happen to him. I said, he ain't going to be there. I mean, again, he's a decent quarterback, but he's not a playmaker. And
right.
Every quarterback
right.
That's going to play, except for Texas, has quarterbacks who are playmakers, along with having good general skills related to the position. So you're right, man, guys. Hey, you have to find something that's going to create an interest, knowing more importantly that will move the needle left or right to where you make that half a point over or half a point under.
I mean, you got Jaden Daniels out of LSU, you know, Heisman. I didn't
know.
Nick, forget it. I thought Penix should have got it because he, you know, whacked him out. He's in the national championship game, but he's a left-hand slinger, you know, gunslinger.
Right.
And so Jaden Daniels is that guy, man, elusive, got the arm, rack up yards. He transferred from ASU, you know, under Herm. I think he started under Herm before he went to LSU.
Yeah,
he's a Cali kid, Daniels, you know. And, he went to LSU, and he's wrecking it up. And these guys are all coming up, you know. And then Anthony Richardson, I mean, they pulled the Andrew Luck card on him. And he got banged out too early. You know what I mean?
But
Tony made a good point earlier that I thought about. So you got the Charger quarterback, right? You got the Bengals quarterback.
Herbert.
You got Herbert, thank you. You got Herbert. You got Burrow. You got Daniel Jones. Kirk Cousins. Right now, they all those quarterbacks got broken off some major bank. None of them are on the field.
They did. Nope.
Yep. And
NFL is like, what?
Yep.
Well, look, guys. Look, we know, guys. The game dictates now. The game is about space and creating space. And you cannot create space all the time with your right foot playing in the backfield. You've got to move that pocket and move your body.
You're right.
Because you're going to get killed.
I watch it every weekend with the Niners pass rush. I mean, the Niners never They never have to blitz. So their secondaries can stay in space, but the pressure they get every play on that pass rush.
And then they brought in a kid from the state, Chase Young from Ohio State, and he's loving it because he can go middle or outside. Them boys are something to deal with.
I know. Exactly.
Let's see how long you have the same offensive coordinator.
Yeah, it's true, too.
Right.
Because somebody's going to pick somebody off.
And think about this. Never mind what the refs did or didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
It was a team that was tied. They were desperate. They lose millions. I can't say that enough. Millions if they're out of the playoff race. The playoffs were designed to get as many teams within reason into the mix.
Right.
Buffalo had lost six games.
Michael.
And if they lost, that would have been seven.
Michael,
Now they're calling him Tommy Cutlets. You know what I'm saying? So he's got his mom's name.
Eric,
yes, sir.
You know what he's saying? He's saving money.
Cash, right? Exactly. Save the cash. Tommy DeVito, you know, and Joey Flacco. You know, they're back in the mix.
Yeah, he played at Don Bosco with Syracuse.
Don Bosco Prep. Everything local. Yeah, everything.
So, I want to know
what the hell happened to Flacco, because P.J. Walker was there.
What happened to P.J.?
How did Flacco all of a sudden end up running the Browns?
So P.J. is not injured?
No. Well, he wasn't, but he's a third-string quarterback. He's on the practice squad.
Can I ask you a question real quickly, Patrick, or everybody out there? Wasn't he first up after Deshaun got hurt?
Think he should have been.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
he was out there a lot when I was watching some games. As a matter of fact, he played against the Niners.
Yeah, and he got concussed.
The thing you got to look at with Walker is, remember, he was at a certain team that had
North Carolina.
let's not make this personal. But he was not only third string, but he was also winning.
Exactly.
The team was following him.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got rid of the coach that brought him in, who's now the DC at San Francisco. Where the 49ers are from? Is
Wilk. Right? Are you talking about Wilk?
Yeah. He's with the Browns too.
But see, the salvation there is this. They fired the guy that fired him, so.
But the thing, P.J. got concussed, which opened up that.
Okay, that's what took place. Thank you. I was wondering when, because the brother was out there rolling and starting, but he got concussed. All right. Like DTR got concussed a little bit.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did too.
Against the Broncos. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
So they brought up Joey Flacco, and all right. Mm, okay.
What? You know, Joey's. I give him credit for what he did, but I was saying this, and I said last week, you can't throw 44 pass a game and survive to get in the playoffs. You can't do that. And what makes it worse, two of the top tackles the Browns got, both got injured. The other big tackle from Ohio State, Jones, he got out. He's out for the season. He got knee operation on yesterday. So we'll see what happens. If we don't run the ball, if we run the ball, Joe Flacco can be competitive. We don't run the ball, we got problems. Case closed. Can't run the ball 40 times.
The Dallas Cowboys play the Buffalo Bills this Sunday.
Yes, going to be a good one.
Now, I want to see our referee. I want to see our referee do it because I ain't so out. I'm not so I don't think he's that good.
Oh, he's good.
Turnover machine.
Good. The problem with Allen is, the problem is he is a product of the league's hype. The league so badly wants to remind everybody that the white quarterbacks are better. And Josh Allen fits the script. He's 6'5". He's 240. He's supposed to be, but hold on. He's supposed to be good because the NFL said so. He's not. Burrow is decent. Herbert is average. Allen is neither. The problem is you got one guy who's going to hold up the mantle for all the white quarterbacks. No matter what Buffalo does, he's not going to beat Jackson. He's not going to beat Mahomes more than once. He's not going to beat Hurts. He's not going to beat any of these guys. He's played his very best, and each time the brothers outdid him. The league knows they're backing a losing horse if they're trying to back Allen for a Super Bowl.
Well, their template is Brock. Their template right now is Brock Purdy. You know, I mean, Brock Purdy.
There you go.
Who are they riding with all the way with Brock Purdy?
There you go.
Mike, one thing that they're assuming is, I'm only assuming that you were skirting past this, but, you know, when we talk about what goes on in a game, remember the talking heads? The reason I didn't watch the game Sunday night was they got the same jerk back on there again who was off for a week. Wink, wink.
Yep.
The one who every pass that somebody throws that he likes, it's a perfect pass in a perfect spot. He should have caught that.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Even if it was in the third row of the opposing team.
What a spiral.
Oh
yeah, that's
a spiral that was going end over end. The punter and the kicker was putting more of a spin on the ball than he was. I am beyond the point watching the game with the sound down because I can't take this joke. He knows next to nothing about football for all the time he talked about he played it. And the thing that I remember about him was there was a play where he was going across the middle against a certain team. I won't call the Steelers' name, but he got whacked by one of the old heads. But he was a young boy at the time, and I think he's still trying to recover from that hit.
I think
it was Glenn Edwards who hit him.
Yeah,
27. Yeah. It was Glenn Edwards who hit him.
Mike, I do want to throw this in about the Eagles. You know,
yes,
I understand they lost two games back to back. One thing that's important that both games they lost in which the opposing team had 10 days to prepare for them. That can make a big difference.
Exactly.
But you know. What are they in the last 2 years? They've lost like four games, and people are talking about their freaking demise. I mean, they're gonna play the Giants twice. If they don't beat the Giants twice, you know, something's wrong.
It's something.
It is. And I heard the broadcast. A guy sitting with the broadcast of the Eagles, Seth Joyner lit up. It was like, you know, they was a stepchild, man. Seth Joyner talked about his team. Yes, he did.
Yeah, Joyner has a tendency to do that. But in all honesty, the Eagles can run the table, and they go 14-3, and they gain the number one seed for the playoffs. But, you know, you're so in the moment about them getting their ass whipped, and they got their ass whipped. I ain't gonna deny that. But the point is, you know, I'll take the ass whipping now.
Thank you.
I can deal with the ass whipping later.
and what's interesting about that, whoever wins that division, right, the Cowboys or the Eagles,
mm-hmm.
they're going to most likely play a road game against the NFC South under 500
yep.
squad, because both
yeah,
those teams
yeah.
are 6
exactly.
and 7, right?
Exactly.
Saints,
yeah.
Falcons, who's the other 6? Tampa Bay. Right? Saints, Tampa Bay, and the Falcons. So because of the NFL hierarchy not moving to best record host a home game, one of those teams are going to open up, you know, on the road at one of those turf teams in Tampa Bay, which sets up
that's right.
potentially, if you don't get the number one seed, which is like potentially the Niners at this mm-hmm. point, then those teams are looking at a Dallas Eagles again rematch in the second
yeah,
round. Because both those teams should win on the road. But the Cowboys would have a far better record than those South teams. But they're going to hit the road because they're going to play the better record in the higher seed, which would probably be the Central team, Detroit, right, which probably
right.
won't win the first round neither. They'll probably host as well in the way it's set up right now. So Eagles-Cowboys are hitting the road, you know, which
yeah.
means that they've got to win three games, right, to win the Super Bowl. Well, three games
yeah.
to get to the Super Bowl, correct, because you have to win three playoff games, correct?
And the bottom line, the
yeah.
bottom line, they got to face the 49ers at home. That's going to be a rough one.
Yeah.
For any of them. Yeah, for any of
yes.
them, right?
That's
if the Niners don't, if the Niners don't slip up, they've taken a few injuries, but right now
yeah.
they're rolling. You know, I mean, they're rolling. And, you know, and the
that's right.
the one and the teams that can beat the Cowboys, they got smoked. You know, Kittle's had the, you know, the F Cowboy jersey, all that. But the whole the deal is with that one is maybe Dallas can get, if they can't get to Purdy. That's what the Eagles did last year. They knocked him out the game because you
yep.
know, he's got that – Shanahan's just got him totally tuned up to that system.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Purdy's ripping that shit in half. And the McCaffrey is effing no joke, man. I mean, I've seen enough of him to say, fuck it. You got me riding with you, McCaffrey, because I've just seen this. He just clowns these MFers out there.
And McCaffrey and Debo. Jesus.
And Kittle's. I mean, the run after catches and Ayuk. And Jennings is a damn good right wide receiver, and he's like the third leg.
Yep.
You
yep.
know, and the,
yep.
and the O-line is almost the Great Wall of Dallas. Not quite, not close, but their physicality, extremely physical.
And
the Niners play at a physical rate that's incredible. The defense, too, with the secondary, not pass rush, is no joke. So Shanahan, though, we know can screw it up. He can't close. He couldn't close
yeah,
his offensive coordinator in Atlanta. He didn't close when he had the lead against the Chiefs, right?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't close last year. He's been to the NFC Conference Championship last year, but Shanahan can't close. He's yet to close. So that's
Shanahan
still a question mark.
Shanahan and Pete Carroll have this one thing in common. Mm-hmm. They both think they're the smartest guy in the room and on the football
true.
Field.
They try to get too cute.
They'll do something gadgety.
Yes.
When knocking somebody upside the head is the best
and get
way
conservative. Exactly. I mean, Shanahan will pull that plug and start choking on that mic really quick, man, in those playoff games.
Yeah.
Seen it too often. I mean, they had no quarterback, right, when Purdy hurt his elbow. They brought in Joe Johnson, right? His first name was Joe. They brought Johnson. He got knocked
John
out
Johnson.
The game.
John Johnson. They
knocked him out the game, right? And then he went with – we knew Purdy couldn't throw. He had to go emergency quarterback, and he did not. They had the most predictable offense ever. I was like, come on, Shanahan, this is bullshit. I mean, you don't have a third string or something you can do. If you got to run McCaffrey on
you,
you need to do something. He just torched it. He put Purdy in who couldn't throw, and that was the Eagles just went, you know, bonkers after that. But that was coaching at that point.
Yeah, yeah, game over. At that
game
point.
Over, man. Yeah.
So I
agree, man. Shanahan, he's a question mark to me in terms of they got the personnel. Lynch hooked it up. They've got the team. They've got the line. They've got the talent. They have all pros at every position. Every single position, they've got all pros.
Yes.
You know, running back, offensive line, receivers, secondary, linebacker, QB. Every position's covered. Tight end. Yet, you know, it ain't personnel. What's coaching?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Who's playing?
Well, it will never be coaching with him because the media will cover for him. It was always the player's fault.
That just true to that too. Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's the question.
They
didn't
even
watch
the football club. They never going to watch the football club.
I got a question to propose, and I like to see the brothers brainstorm on this one. So right now, Baltimore would be the number one seed, right? Baltimore can beat San Francisco.
Yes.
They're probably the only team left that can. I think it really bang with San Francisco because they're going to bring that physicality.
They
to Niners
run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
They do.
There you go.
Baltimore runs the ball, and they know how to bully on defense.
Correct.
They know how to push people around. And, you know, you don't push Baltimore unless you push back. And not many teams push back against these guys. I'm with that.
And
there's a lot of meat.
Man, I like to see them. I love to see Lamar in that Super Bowl, bro.
The thing about it, and think about Baltimore, your points were made. With Baltimore is they will run the ball. They will take time off the clock.
Yeah, they
and
will.
The way that defense plays Baltimore, if you're not on point and running that defense, they got you. So that would be a great matchup. Yes.
Lamar is tailor-made with his style of ball and the fact he's got some weapons in the offense to really do work with the Niners because he can escape that pass rush. You know what I mean? He can be elusive enough to get there. I'd like to see Baltimore get to that spot. I mean, great job, Patrick. The Chiefs aren't going this year. They just don't have enough. The other thing that you brought up, too, is that the Chiefs, this is, you know, back to this money movement thing, the way Vegas tracks things and do their scouting report. The Chiefs lead the NFL in drops.
33.
That's right.
33 drops. 33.
That's a ton. And then the receiver loses you the game again. Ugh, the drops, the offside from these receivers.
I've seen 45 drops.
45?
Wow.
Okay.
I don't know how many it was, but I've seen Kansas City
lose. I heard 33 myself, personally.
Because they dropped the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City lost these two games because their receivers dropped the ball. You know, we had nothing to say if Valdez Scantling had held on to that Patrick Mahomes ball.
That's right. There it is.
It was a perfect throw. I can't say there's nothing that would have changed the fact that that ball was in your hands.
Yep.
If you're a receiver, it's supposed to stay in your hands. See, that is a touchdown. He dropped a fucking touchdown. That's worse than dropping an incomplete pass. You dropped points. He took points off the board.
And Mike, let me throw this in. You know, I'm not of the mindset that you know calling Tom Brady the GOAT. Tom Brady the best player within the last 20 years. But I always will admire him for this. As a quarterback with the Patriots, he always took some money off his contract to put players in the position to keep the train going.
Yep.
You know, and I think I don't know how some of these guys, the quarterback techniques are outrageous quarterback salaries. You need to do like Ohtani is with the Dodgers, put some money to the side. So we can keep the players in particular positions to where we can keep winning.
Band together.
Hey, Patrick, that was the funniest ish ever. I'm going to just first $680 million. I'm still laughing at that.
Hey.
My point being is, I hope y'all feel better that I'm deferring my money. I mean, I'm still taking the $700 million, but I was just deferring $680
million. Yes.
Hilarious.
I get to that later on, but you know.
Okay, all right.
I get to that later on, but
And the San Francisco Giants
had the same money, but he was never going there.
LA. Money. He said no.
Yeah, LA.
He
was never going there. It's the wise decision, and plus,
yes,
Frisco knew how it would have blown up with the Asian communities, which is really strong in the Bay Area. It's as strong in Southern California as well. So, that's going to take an exponential. That's going to make it exponential. He made the right call because he didn't want to deal with, you know, that NorCal weather. It's a little warmer in than it is in playing in Frisco.
And how
also,
he got in San Francisco.
The Giants countered with a new outfielder from South Korea. They got a South Korean outfielder today.
They call him Son of the Wind. You know, he's really a the King Korea called him Son of the Wind and shit.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to bring that element there. But, again, Baltimore, man, I mean, I'm not hearing the hype for Baltimore. I keep hearing the Cowboy hype, the Eagle hype, the Niner hype, but Baltimore's putting in that work.
Derek, you know why? You know why?
Okay. Go ahead.
As we know all these platforms that promote teams in the NFL always start with the same ridiculous narrative and focus. These producers, I don't know, they get on my nerves. What's the quarterback? Mm-hmm. What quarterback is hard to sell in the NFL? The quarterback hard to sell in the NFL is who? The quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. Because he don't look like the who they want to see.
I got it.
That's why.
Hey, man, get him, Lamar. Get him, Lamar.
Exactly.
That's what he's wanting. Get him, Lamar.
Mike, let me say this. How can a guy that proficient MVP ain't got one national commercial? Ain't got one?
Damn,
okay,
that same shit.
You know about Purdy. You know about Purdy every day out here.
Purdy shows up every day. He shows up in this little Toyota. He drives to St. Louis at college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's got the Toyota convert. They upped his truck, but it's still basic. And, you know, you got basic Brock, you know, leading the way. Purdy's their template, man. This Fran Tarkenton, 70-style quarterback, Purdy style. You know, that clean quarterback play from that 70s angle style, you know, that he plays with that up tempo Niners offensive bullshit.
And you got Lamar, who's a star. He can't even get the commercial that Will Levis for the Titans get for rookie right. He got a national ad for mayonnaise. Lamar can't even get that.
Well, that tells you what you need to know. Baltimore's 10-3, and look what's not said about
Lamar
Jackson.
Are they 10 or 11-3? They're 10-3. Okay, 10-3. Okay, cool.
But they're not saying anything. It was always some snot remark or left-handed compliment before, but now that he's been here, they are not saying shit. Leading any categories except for running the ball, but he's led them to 10 victories, and nobody said boo.
Nothing.
Wasn't it Tim Ryan who said that his ability to fake a handoff is because of the dark shade of his color of his skin that matches the football? That was Tim Ryan. So he's using melanin to hide the rock.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's fascinating.
Magic. Come on. Anything but to get a young man credit. Yeah. But I know that, but I don't think
we'll toot his horn.
He don't care because that contract, he got to say, I'm fine. I'm cool. You know, I'm cool.
I like to see him at the Super Bowl, man. That'll shift the equation.
That's true.
I mean, in the AFC, can anybody beat Baltimore?
No. Even my Browns, especially they get home field, right? Yeah, you ain't beating them.
I don't trust those receivers at all with Kansas City, and Kelsey's not enough.
No, he's not enough.
He's not enough. He ain't enough to beat the Ravens. Harbaugh will coach that shit up.
Here's something to think about. We've already heard offside call once against the offense for the first time in umpty-umpty years. Do you believe that between now and the end of the season, it'll get called again?
No, Michael.
Yeah.
Because the coaches, now all the coaches have been aware,
they got the tip. Yeah.
Now all the coaches are going to be aware, they're going to tell players, don't go near the line.
Or do like Michael Irvin, check.
I hear that, and Irvin did always check. I can still see him now lining up, but always looking at the line and see where he's lined up. You know, he's that kind of guy. But at the same time, in basketball, right? If you line up for the free throw, and you're touching the blocks next to you in your slated slots on a free throw, right? For the rebound, refs will tell you watch your foot. You're inside. Move your foot over. Hey, take your. Right, they won't just, you know, unless someone goes too fast into the lane, right? They do get a warning. So to Mahomes' point, you know, I mean, how many snaps has he taken in his career?
A lot.
A lot. I like that answer. So, you know, he lost. You know, he blew it because there's sometimes you just have this natural instinct when you've been schnookered.
Yeah. My question, can we talk about Draymond Green, man?
Come on.
Why not?
Can we talk about Draymond Green, please?
Why not? Well, hey, Patrick, before you go, and one quick disclosure, if you're a foreign player in the NBA, don't go near Draymond Green. You'll get chokehold Rudy Gobert. You'll get stomped on Sabonis. And you'll get the shit knocked out of you, Nurkic. So European basketball players of all kinds, their mind is on the lookout.
I agree. I'll say this. I'm going to preach for a minute. I'm not asking for any offense. Let the church say all right.
Amen.
I will say this. In the gospel of NBA basketball, Draymond Green, in the position that he's in now, with the kind of approach he takes to the game, I'll ask you this question. If Draymond Green did what he did last night to Gus Johnson, the Baltimore Bullets, if Draymond Green would have did that did to Bobby Jones of the Philadelphia 76ers, if Draymond Green would have did that to Daryl Dawkins, If Draymond Green did that to the Davis boys of the old Indiana Pacers,
how about don't forget Maurice Lucas.
I was going there. If Draymond Green did that against Mad Max of the Houston Rockets, Calvin Murphy.
Yeah, Mad Max.
If Draymond Green did that against Charles Oakley.
Ooh.
If Draymond Green did that against Rick Mahomes, if Draymond Green did that against Vivian McGinnis, if Draymond Green did, Lord have mercy, against Anthony Mason, and of course if Draymond Green did against Maurice Lucas, what do you think would happen?
Oh, hell no.
Draymond Green knows who to go after and who not. Case closed, sermon over.
Well, that's a super valid point.
Okay,
there's another.
Bring me up to speed, because see, I don't watch the NBA.
All right, so last night the Suns were playing the Golden State Warriors. Nurkic, the European center, 6'10", 6'11", plus, got, you know, kind of tied up with Draymond in the far left baseline corner near the Warriors bench. You know, yes. So he knew where he was physically with his bench close to him. They got tangled up, and Draymond kind of wheeled house the close fist.
Yes, he did.
That caught him in the part of the jaw that dislodges the oxygen that boxers choose, that far right corner. There's a nerve there.
Wow.
You get that, you're automatically going to go down no matter who you are because it's the oxygen fill. And he hit him right in that far, you know, really strategic, and Nurkic went right down, took it down, and it was totally a non-basketball play, a physical play, and an illegal blow. So the NBA has now, you know, suspended him indefinitely, correct. We're looking for the right terminology they use. They suspended him indefinitely for that time period. Now, to your point, Cornbread Maxwell, Cedric Maxwell, UNC Charlotte, Fred, around Fred's world, right? Mad Max, your brother. He literally, I think he was talking to either Worthy or someone from that era, right? You know, and because he still works for the Celtics, correct? And he said, he looked at some of the brothers from his era and with full, you know, authenticity, he said, Draymond Green? Imagine when we played against him. You know, and he was like looking at him like they would still be trying to find pieces of Draymond Green right now. Based on that era.
No,
And Max would have been the guy that delivered the heat for himself because he mixed it up all the time.
Mad Max wasn't scared of Ali. Come on, man. And what you understand, don't get it twisted about Calvin Murphy.
He had hands.
He didn't care.
I mean, all that baton twirling, his reflexes were tough. He had hands, man. We like to call it.
Since you all follow that quote sport. And know that he has been a jackass the whole year.
Oh my, his career.
And no, I don't even want to go back that far.
Gotcha.
And we say, what has he done lately?
Gotcha.
This year, you know.
Right.
Chokehold.
Come on, yeah, man. Come on, man. Jump on a guy like that.
What took the NBA?
You get a
telco
with some bullshit. That was some bullshit.
But gentlemen, let me ask you guys a question. You're on a basketball team. You're a team player. They need you to play, right? You are the linchpin of the team. Why are you doing that? I got a problem because now. They're going nowhere.
Yeah, the Warriors have seen their best days.
Play more minutes. As a long, more defenses. As to play extra time. That's not teamwork.
The Warriors are undersized. Yeah, they're undersized. They have no depth, you know, and they're just not going anywhere. Klay's lost his touch, and, you know, like shooters do. It's a wrap. Steph, you know, he can't log those minutes. You know, he's got plans.
No,
he's got the huge contract. You know. Yeah, you know, I mean, the Warriors, they had a nice run, but, you know, the Splash Brothers, all that, it's been there, done that. So Draymond, you know, playing fake enforcer, it's not working. Didn't Bob Lanier chase Bernard King up for the bleachers at the Scataway? Wasn't Bernard, like, eight rows up?
I heard about it.
Yeah, you remember that? I mean, them brothers back there. I mean, Bobby, you know, Bernard got to popping off and shit. Bob Lanier chased his ass near the concessions. Bernard was jamming it up for hot dogs and popcorn, and Bob Lanier was hunting his ass down.
And now,
one of the things I've disliked about professional basketball more than anything else is, okay, I'll call it a rough side to it, but, you know, just listen to guys talk. They talk, some of them sound like I'm a thug. They look like a gentleman from Memphis. Even the thug said, boy, you ain't been through nothing. You know,
Zach Randolph, you come on, Zach.
You went to a mostly white finishing school, and you want to brag about being a thug. That's not being a thug. You have no pedigree.
I mean, and DeMarcus Cousins was playing that role.
Yeah, DeMarcus, he was.
And Zach told his ass, you know what I mean? You know, round my way, tough guys don't bluff. You know what I mean? So he was like basically saying,
you remember that?
Zach was out of Michigan. Zach was a wild dude in a lot of different ways and shit. But he could, you know, so he was about that life. And to your point, you're right, man. You just don't have that no more in terms of guys like really walking and like you're talking. Even Jason Williams, you know, he got caught up.
Yeah, I know Jason.
With a piecemeal. Ooh. Draymond Green.
John Morant, better watch his back because now everybody gonna be watching. So John Morant gave his knee to go to the bathroom anymore. I'll tell you that.
You know, lost a lot of money.
Morant is the one that was faking so hard about being a thug.
He called himself
to be a member of the Bloods or the Crips, one of them.
There's some interesting affiliations with the Sets because you got a major TNT announcer that had the Sets running interference and shit in SoCal, but that's another story.
They're not trying to make it, they're just faking it.
I tell you what about that. If you want to talk about a person, you know, and without even trying, you know, if with no attempt to even put any effort in having it back, no one ever, from a pro athlete standpoint, said the streets of L.A. on lock, like Kobe Bryant and the Sets of the SAs, who run the SoCal, right? Hispanic and Mexicans run Southern California. It's based on numbers, right? And when he married Vanessa, it was like one of them old biblical stories where the king married the daughter of a different nation to have that nation in alignment with them. Kobe had that on beyond lock. And there was players. I remember, what's the brother that could really play defense for? Rajah Bell. Rajah was a really good defender, right? And he and Kobe had, you know, some kind of entanglement. And Rajah Bell was getting all these text messages on his cell phones with threats. He said, how the hell do people get my damn number? His brother was untouchable down there. This is a personal experience. So Kobe was changing his number from 8 to 24, right? I think for 8 to 24, and it hadn't come out yet, right? And I'm at a preseason game at Staples with the Clippers, right? I can't remember the Clippers was playing. And I'm talking to an usher. And I was doing some little scout stuff there. And the usher came up to me, you know, and so this brother came in, and, you know, young Mexican kid, you know, I mean, young man, and he came there, and he took out a newspaper. No lie, he took out a newspaper article. I don't know if it was the Times or the LA Daily News, right? And he goes, I need to, and he's talking to me, right? He goes, I need to give this guy a call. I can't believe what he said about Kobe. This cannot go. Yeah, he literally cut the article, and I just was looking at this. And that just gave me a parallel. I said, Brian got it on lock like this? And you seen that after the tragedy with all the murals, and all the showing up. And if you look at that attendance, predominantly Hispanic.
That's very true.
And so what I'm here to say from a personal standpoint and from that level, it's the street level and someone who had that coverage. But he had the whole L.A. thing. Like, I guess Jeter in New York is the closest I've seen with any athlete that had one particular city with that kind of fan base of that level of passion. I don't even think Jeter had it on Kobe because he had the streets. No, Jeter had the bougie. I don't know if he had the streets. Yeah. Kobe had the streets.
Yeah.
Kobe had the streets. Yeah. I agree. 1,000%.
amazing. Before we it go, was amazing to me to witness that shit, you know? I mean, I watched, I was like, damn.
Before we go, I reiterate, we've seen offside call once
right.
on the offense.
Right.
Are we going to see it again before the playoffs?
Probably.
By anybody?
That's a great question. That is a great
problem.
I would say, wow, I mean, damn. I mean, what are we putting on the line here? Some root beer floats or some shit? I mean, I like to hear the numbers on this one.
Probably.
Now, and Mike, I'll say this. Even if I'll split down the middle. If we don't see it through the regular season, beware of it in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I'm saying.
But
we're talking serious.
That's a great point, Mike. And Mike, let me put a filler in that real quick. I mean, how about these neutral zone infractions? I mean, I'm telling you, these neutral zone infractions have been setting teams back left, right, front, and center.
Mm-hmm.
And college too.
Mm-hmm. And college too.
Our head referee has to have his head on swivel, first of all. There's too much
okay.
shit going on.
You're right.
You know? You're looking in and you're looking out. You're dodging angles in the gaps. And especially when the ball comes outside because everybody gets to run to one spot or they got angles to run to one spot. If you're not a referee that doesn't know what's going on out there, you can get your ass run over.
All right, real quick to that point, you struck a thought. So when Dak Prescott a few years back, right, they were out of timeout and they were trying to set up. And the referee got in the way because they got to wait for the certain lineman. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was against the Niners,
yeah,
too, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that a playoff game?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
That was strange.
The rule is
the referee
uh-huh.
has to touch the ball. The referee
okay.
has to touch the ball before he can put it in play.
And the receiver on the Cowboys is too busy messing around. Not giving him the ball. You have to give the ref the ball.
There you go.
Yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All right. It's
definitely something to think about.
Mm,
we're in the
okay.
neutral zone now. Patrick, you call the ball.
I'll say this real quickly. If anybody is, you know, I've been in TV a long time, media a long time, and one thing I can't take is redundancy. Unless it has some significance to where it goes to where it broadens the scope and thinking of people, okay? That's part of what media is about. But particularly in the NFL, people get locked on a particular player and a particular team and things like the Cowboys every freaking broadcast, which I turn off.
Yeah.
But the phenomenon this year that's broadened the scope of what I'm talking about is the constant stories and media coverage of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. However, I got to
is it fact or fiction, man? Are they one? Are is it a science?
Oh, there are a couple. There are a couple. But here's
right.
something.
Couple,
I got some information,
yeah,
right. and I'll follow
all
up. But I found out.
All right.
The Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce thing, and affirmed by two brothers.
Uh-oh.
I'll follow that up. Two brothers are in charge of that, created this phenomenon that nobody's talking about. Two black men.
Uh-huh.
I'll leave it there. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Anything something to think about, Professor? You said it yourself. Your kid said. Nobody does nothing until the center moves the ball. You got the ball.
Well, HBCUs have pretty well finished out, and they have one more game this weekend.
That's
yes,
the ball? Is that the
game.
Ball?
Yeah.
Okay.
Crooked,
okay.
And overall, it's been a good year. Hopefully, from this point forward, we don't have to sit and listen to all the jargon about number 21. He did what he did. It wasn't all good. It wasn't all bad. And
that's a good way of saying it. That's a good way of saying it.
And keep moving.
Right.
You know,
I like
we,
that.
we're on the edge of a new year already, and it's, I don't know if we're going to be on next week or the week after.
What's
personally, I'll probably be vacationing, but either way, I've enjoyed hanging with you guys. I'm sorry Reggie's not here, so I can insult him
too,
one more time for the year. I might have to call him at home.
I like that, hanging with the fellow.
We have done good work on this show over this past year. It's been enlightening. And a lot of other good things. And, the only good thing I can say that came out of the 21 phenomenon was the fact that I got to know a lot of people, some of whom I have already met, but when you go into the press box, if you're on radio, you assign a box. On television, you assign a box, you print or whatever. And in my case, I'll use it as a statistician. And, you got places marked off for you to go. You don't get to really meet. And I've actually got to meet a lot of guys that I had met before but never really interacted with them. But, at some point in time, I look forward to meeting all of you, just keep it moving.
Yeah, we'll do a Zoom meeting, man. We'll do a Zoom. We can all be, face up, whatever it may be. I'll let Patrick coordinate.
That's what I'm talking about. Barbecue.
Can I explain the question? Fred, who's going to win this weekend? Because I hear a lot about Flam's defense and a lot about Howard's running game. With that big tackle that everybody was looking at, that they want to draft in the first or second round.
Okay. Here's my read on that. If Howard wins, okay, you expect him to win. If FAMU wins, the Sweats had to go outside to the enemy and get the team to beat the MEAC team. Because if I remember correctly, with all up to date, the Sweats has only won one time.
Hmm.
So they had to go take one of the enemy and put them in there on their side, and then now they can be able to win.
Okay,
I mean, that's your television, that's for sure.
All right,
we're looking. Is that new?
My eyes still. Eric, you always watching. You always in motion. You always look at the referee in the side to say, "Am I good?" They nod their head yes. The ball's in your court.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I love offensive efficiency, man, and low penalty turnover. So I'm with that strategy. National Basketball Association, a couple of observations. A lot of it is unwatchable in some cases. I did find the tourney game a pretty interesting one in Vegas.
Yeah.
I think the Pacers and Lakers did well. I mean, that was a pretty good thing. My son was on the set, there at T-Mobile, and the energy was really electric there. And yeah. They go to a lot of games. I can roll out some photos if ever. But, it's always good to have people on the set. But at the same time, that was pretty well done. And again, LeBron James continues to show, incredible stamina, regardless of how he's rated or categorized to play at this level, and all that investment in himself is paying off, which is a rule of thumb for many people to stay motivated. But then there's the trail into that. There's two teams, one the Detroit Pistons on a 28 losing streak. Wowzer. I've had access to the scouting technology, the film technology you can have, and I said to myself, my goodness gracious, if I had just one-fifth of that when I was a prep coach, we were tough to beat anyway. I thought I would be impossible with what you can see and utilize. So to see a team lose 20 games in a row with every access available to improve your team is inexcusable, right? Inexcusable. Monty got one. Williams, he got paid, broken off the cheddar. Dwayne Casey was a very good brother. Dwayne struggled there, but we're finding out it wasn't Dwayne Casey. Prior to him, and Dwayne got really screwed with the Toronto job with Nick Nurse because that was his NBA Finals team, but that's another story. And then the myth of Victor Wembanyama. You know, I mean, Spurs have lost 14 straight. They're 3-19. They're like, I don't know, 1-10 at home. Wembanyama, you know, he's putting up 18-10. Not bad numbers, shooting 43% from the field. He showed some flashes, but the NBA, as we've seen less and less promotion because it hasn't panned out. They're 1-10 at home, so all that Spurs excitement, they're coming in to watch the team lose over and over again, which is bringing out the mythology of Greg Popovich, who, again, did poorly with the U.S. team, right? You know, when they played the national thing, they were horrible. That was Steve Kerr, too, as well. But the point being is, Wembanyama, as I mentioned, you know, early on, I thought it was Ralph Sampson 1.0, you know, and he'll be good. He'll have his moments. He'll improve.
He will.
He's not being utilized the right way at all. He's having his moments. He has really nothing around him per Popovich. And
that's
so that
true.
Has to shift. NBA's pushed back on the hard marketing of him, but, you know, in terms of him being this overreputation, the biggest myth they made was comparison him to the greatest prospect since LeBron James. We now know that's purely a mythological statement.
I agree.
Are
you trying to say that's a delusional? They're being delusional?
No, he has skills. He can play.
He can play.
And if guys don't get out of his way, he can't move them.
I agree. And being able to play at 18-6 is not coming and getting 30-10, right? So, again, the American – big difference. So the American raised basketball player, despite the whole thing coming up with the whole Stern proxy, is still the best player in the world. Now, there's some incredible talent coming up out of Africa, right? But still, again, even though they've been raising that and financing it, the best player that played a round ball come from the United States of America.
The best player, no question.
Regardless of all that money. Exactly. And see, that's the thing with Wembanyama. I remember De'Aaron Fox, right? He's balling out of control for the Kings, right? He's singing it, you know?
Yes.
They played the Spurs, and the way they were – I mean, he matched up pretty much one-on-one with Wembanyama. You know, he probably was outside the foot plus or more, right? You know, 6'1 versus 7'3, whatever. And he locked Wembanyama up, forced him into a turnover. And the first thing he did was jump into his chest. You know, nothing physical, but to kind of let him know you're French pastry. You're French pastry. I'm collard greens and fried chicken and mac and cheese, bro, ham.
That's right. Don't
that
get
was
that
good.
Write
that down.
1,000.
Hey.
The referee is paying attention to you. He saw you last time. He said, be careful where you step, gang. You got the ball. What's up?
Double G.
Okay. With the Nets, trouble comes with the Nets always. And North Dakota State Bison are in the FCS final, semifinals this weekend. They play against Albany. Head coach Matt Entz will be leaving North Dakota State, going to USC this year.
Okay.
By the way, the FCS finals, both and the finals have Missouri Valley schools. South Dakota State Jackrabbits will play the Great Danes of Albany, New York, and the Vikings of North Dakota will take Montana Grizzlies this Friday and this Saturday for the championship on January 7th.
I dig those FCS championships.
Yeah.
Get into that, G. I like watching those.
I love your loyalty, guy. I love your, especially to the Jackrabbits. It's like, we've been waiting for these motherfuckers to do something. So now the Jackrabbits is
right.
Well, Jack the Jackrabbits are going for back-to-back titles, and North Dakota State has 11 titles. So for the past 14 years, a Missouri Valley school has represented the SDS.
That copy, that is, that's a great team. Bisons run over Jackrabbits 44-3.
That's some real middle America stuff there.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I used to root for Georgia Southern.
They were in beast mode for many years, Georgia Southern.
I did when Tracy Horn played for them. I definitely root for Georgia Southern.
William and Mary used to play at that level, right? Or is that James Madison,
Mary?
Okay.
Both teams had a good team, but James Madison,
they had some good squads.
Irvine.
Watch out for them damn Jackrabbits.
Yeah, them Jackrabbits are something else. Them damn Jackrabbits are something else. You're right.
Here we go.
The Cove. What about that time, G? When's the Cove?
On the Pacific, 4 o'clock in the East.
Every what, Saturday?
Every Saturday.
Gotcha.
I love the OJs. You know, nothing is better than eating something you like, than being reintroduced to something you like. Me, because of my lactose intolerance, I used to be pissed at the prospect of a plate of macaroni and cheese. You would think it's so simple. It's so tasty. Why can't I have it? And I'd be in the bathroom answering, I know why I can't have it. My ass, they're not. But that's my very responsible, intelligent, and she's not asking for a compliment, but she's going to get one anyway. My wife, Nada, she's made macaroni and cheese so good and vegan.
There's a vegan alternative. You can say, and it's still got that melt on it, Mike.
It does. That's what got me. It still tastes like it. I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah, so.
No wonder you sound so fresh tonight, brother. You got that meth back on you.
So
with the turkey in the next couple of weeks, you know it's going to be my side dish.
We'll be right back.
smoked greens, turkey breast, mac and cheese, cornbread. Love said. See y'all later.